Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Walking in Truth. Chapter 3. The Love of the Truth. In the second part of Paul's letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, a crucial aspect of people's relationship with the truth of God is narrated, as we can see below. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the text described above, there are many aspects to be observed. However, in this theme, we want to focus more specifically on the expression of the love of the truth and the results that can come to those who receive it or those who despise it. Initially, we would like to mention here that in a given process, a person may not know the truth about a specific fact, but even so, one may have the love of the truth to, through it, be guarded even regarding facts that one may not know more deeply. The love of the truth can be present and broadly active in a person even if one does not yet know the truth about something specific regarding which one needs to be instructed or protected. A person does not need to know everything about life to walk in the truth, not to be deceived, or not to walk in error. However, what one needs to have continually in one's life is the love of the truth. So, what, then, is this love of the truth for a Christian to also be able to walk in the truth? And to answer this last question, we would like to refer to what was commented on this same aspect in the theme Conscious of the Context of Life and Destination of the New Creature, more specifically in the chapter Conscious of the Need to be Established in the Conviction of Truth and Not of Illusions, of which we remember the following part. Every Christian is called to carry the love of the truth in one's heart and never abstain from it, recognizing that this love of the truth is powerful to reveal both good and evil. Remembering here that the presence of Christ in the heart of a Christian is the presence of the love of the truth in this Christian, for Christ is the supreme expression of the Heavenly Father's love and the supreme expression of God's light and truth. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thus, when a person has in one's heart the love of the truth or the Lord Christ Jesus, the one who is the expression of the truth and the love of God, and one gives credit to or believes in the instruction granted by the Lord, one is already in the condition in which one no longer needs to be subject to the deceitfulness of darkness and to walk according to what they propose, for as truth and light are also inseparable. As already seen in previous chapters, whoever has the love of the truth also has him who is the light of one's life. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When a person accepts the love of the truth, offered to him or her by the grace of God, this same love of the truth cooperates with him or her so that one can become strengthened in the truth, helping him or her even to move away from aspects that contradict the truth and in which this person believed before the knowledge of the truth taught to him or her by the Lord. On the other hand, if a person does not have the love of the truth, does not believe in it, or does not give credit to it, one is subject to continue making choices of paths and actions according to one's limited understanding, the interests of other people, or according to the darkness, which may be highly contrary to the truth itself and very harmful to those who follow them. In addition, on several occasions, Knowing the truth may be initially very uncomfortable and may confront a person's comfort zone with situations that have been established for a long time in one's life and surroundings. However, the individual who has the love of the truth and cherishes it places the truth and obedience to it above the situations around him or her and is willing to have one's life changed to become aligned with the truth one comes to know and with the true freedom that accompanies the knowledge of the truth. And also about this last aspect of the relationship with the truth, even though the truth may cause initial discomfort for the one who chooses to walk in the truth, we would like to recall again an excerpt from the same chapter of the theme Conscious of the Context of Life and Destination of the New Creature already referenced above, as follows. Still regarding being subject to a life contrary to the love of the truth, we understand that it is also worth noting at this point that many people who hide behind imaginary worlds do so because they still do not know God and His light. Others, however, do so because they prefer their own worlds, because they think that they will be able to continue doing what they love to practice in them forever, disregarding, in their conscience or convictions, that the paths they are choosing are paths that lead them to sad harvests according to their choices for darkness. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. For this reason, the reality described in the scriptures is that the individual who chooses a world according to darkness, according to lies, according to fables and illusions, however attractive they may seem, also chooses a path of much pain, deceit, and unrighteousness that presents itself in the lives of those who hate the light, for it is only through the love of the truth that a person is sustained against the illusions that are in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So, on the one hand, however much the love of the truth may in some situations bring afflictions and momentary sorrow to a person because of what is made known by the truth, the action of abstaining from this love, passively or actively, certainly does not contribute against the illusions in the world. On the other hand, as much as separating oneself and keeping oneself separated from illusions, lies, falsehoods, and evil may generate opposition and afflictions in some specific situations for those who choose to remain in the love of the truth, there is true and eternal deliverance only in truth itself, which, in turn, is secured by Christ for all those who believe in Him. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 8:31, 32, and 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Concluding, then, we highlight the fact that a person who experiences the new birth in Christ and becomes a new creature is called by God to be continually conscious that one needs not to conform to the world in which one lives, always preferring to seek true counsel in Christ so that one's conscience or convictions also are continually according to God and not according to the world. Therefore, having the understanding illuminated with the truth can be very challenging in situations that have already been strongly accommodated for a long time. However, as much as this is challenging, A person needs the truth in order not to remain in ignorance or deceit regarding what is fundamental to one's life. If a person thinks that it is best not to know the truth under the idea that supposedly one will not be charged because of not knowing the truth, one demonstrates that one does not have the love of the truth indeed, or that if one has received it, one is stifling, resisting, or rejecting it. Seen from another angle, the person who wants to remain in ignorance shows more love for ignorance itself than for truth. And the love of ignorance is also an escape from the truth and the challenges of life that knowledge of truth and light makes evident. In the love of God, which is poured out in the hearts of all those who receive Christ as Lord, the love of the truth is also inserted. And as the Lord is the truth, rejecting the truth is rejecting God, just as wanting to remain in ignorance is despising God and the wisdom that is found in Him and that He wants to grant to those who believe in Him. Considering, then, that the Lord's scriptures are full of instructions that urge the search for God's wisdom and truth, there is no room in them for a person to think that the voluntary option to remain in ignorance about the fundamental aspects of life can somehow be beneficial to one's life. Proverbs 8:14. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil. Proverbs 8:5-12. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth, and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. What we are trying to highlight, then, in the last paragraphs, aims to accentuate the other crucial point mentioned regarding the love of the truth in the text quoted in the introduction to this chapter, which refers to giving credit to the truth or believing in the truth. When a person does not receive the love of the truth, one also automatically does not believe the truth or does not give credit to it, for by rejecting Christ, the one who is the expression of what is true according to the will of the Heavenly Father, one also rejects the truth. Nevertheless, every Christian also needs to be attentive to continually giving credit to the truth so as not to find oneself in a condition of rejecting the truth and, consequently, one's Lord, for if one does not believe the truth, a Christian may also be subject to falling into deceitfulness, error, and unrighteousness not because the Lord has not made the truth available to him or her, but because the Christian does not receive it with the attention and appreciation that are due to the truth. The rejection of the love of the truth or the posture of despising the truth, because one does not believe it or does not give credit to it, results in a situation where people who do so place themselves in positions in which they give credit to the wildest lusts, lies, and injustices, which, in turn, become instruments or wiles for the work of Satan in their lives and through them, for it is according to the lie and deceit that he works. Let us see below two more texts that exemplify the terrible path that is the posture of not believing in Christ and in his wholesome and true words or in his words of truth. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. 2 Peter 2:1-3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Thus, while God works through the Spirit of truth, the devil works through the spirit of error, deceit, or lies. However, because of the love of the truth and by giving credit to the truth, receiving the truth, or believing the truth given by God in love to those who receive it, a person can choose in favor of the truth to no longer walk in subjection to the powers of darkness. 1 John 4:4-6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The result of accepting, receiving, or welcoming the love of the truth is the encounter with God's righteousness, while the result of rejecting the love of the truth is the path to encounter unrighteousness. Just opening parenthesis at this point, because of the purpose of the present theme, we will not explain in it the meaning of the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness that opposes God, as this has already been done in the themes The Gospel of the Righteousness of God and The Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. However, we would only like to point out that unrighteousness also encompasses all aspects of religiosity that are opposed to exclusive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and heavenly grace. In other words, if a person does not accept the love of the truth, does not believe in the truth, or does not give credit to the truth that God announces to him or her, one of the worst situations that may occur to him or her is to become subject to being deceived in order to come to believe in false ways of salvation. Either on the side of the proposal of atheism, the supposed grace in which a person could give free space to the flesh without severe future consequences, or even of works and religions supposedly necessary for salvation but that cannot indeed save a person for eternal life in the Lord. Because people do not accept the love of the truth or do not believe the truth that is in Christ Jesus and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and human beings, they mistakenly believe that they can even create their own ways of living the Christian life. And by doing so, they subject themselves to the illusions that by making mere references to the name Christian or Christ, they will be saved even if what they hear, follow, and pass on is according to deceitful thoughts, lies, and the most varied fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. By teaching that those who follow him will not walk in darkness, the Lord Jesus Christ was not teaching that people would not walk in darkness if they followed other people who they considered enlightened or if they followed other Christians. On the contrary, to give credit to the truth or the love of the truth is to believe and also abide in what he, the Christ, the truth, said and not what other people perversely want to teach their fellow men. Because of the attitude of distancing themselves from the love of the truth or from believing in the truth, repeatedly for generations, and very markedly in the present generation as well, even many Christians have relapsed into trying to divide the truth that cannot be divided, incurring in trying to replace Christ with that or those by which he can never be replaced. An aspect to which the Scriptures also warn Christians to be very attentive, as also exemplified below. 1 Corinthians 1, 11-13. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 3, 3-5. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? Acts 20, 30. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. In this way, when people distance themselves from the love of the truth, no longer believe in the truth, or no longer give due credit to the truth, what follows is that they also begin to stumble in other aspects of life, including their attempts to establish what they think the Christian life is. Isaiah 59, 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Christians receive the knowledge of the truth as God unveils the truth to them. However, as for welcoming the love of the truth, which is to believe in Christ Jesus in the heart to be instructed and guided by him into all truth, every Christian can adopt a favorable position towards this aspect already from this moment, just as one can already turn to the Lord to be continually established by him in this purpose. When a Christian welcomes the love of the truth or gives credit to the truth that is revealed to him or her by the Lord himself guards or protects him or her from enemies and their attempts to introduce deceitfulness, as well as makes this Christian, in addition to coming to know the true heavenly kingdom and the true righteousness of God, also a cooperator of the heavenly kingdom and its righteousness. John 8, 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Psalms 91, 14-16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Proverbs 12, 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. Psalms 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth, unite my heart to fear your name. Finally, in this chapter, and given the essential condition that the love of the truth and believing in the truth should have in every person's life, it is also possible to see, even more explicitly, why girding oneself with Christ as the Christian's truth is the first aspect described concerning putting on the whole armor of God. A subject also addressed in the theme conscious of the context of life and destination of the new creature, and about which we emphasize once again the text that follows below. Ephesians 6, 11-17. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.